Hi everyone! Welcome to Marketing Insights Live, and today we are talking about podcasting. Are you thinking of starting a podcast? Or do you already have a podcast and you're wondering how maybe you can use it better to promote your business and to have more leads and clients? So if you are thinking about your podcast or starting a podcast, then join me because I am interviewing a business strategist. So she's not just a media person, right? She's a business strategist who's going to make sure that if you do have a podcast, you're using it strategically. Now, just some interesting things that I discovered about podcasting is that there are now over 500,000 active podcasts on iTunes. That's kind of mind-blowing, especially since podcasting is really new. I think it only started in 2004, just around that time. So it's amazing how many people have started doing it, especially since it's not, you know, compared to blogging, for example, it's not as easy as blogging, right? And yet so many people are doing it. But you know what else I found out too is that the average podcast becomes inactive after just 12 episodes. So is that good news or bad news for content creators like you and me, especially business-minded ones? We will find out later on. But you know what? It is a good idea if you are so inclined to have a podcast, because the other thing I found out too is that podcast listeners are quite loyal. And what I mean by this is that when a person listens to a podcast, they tend to listen to the whole episode. Imagine that. Whereas the average blog reader just skims through and probably doesn't even read half of what you've written on your blog post. So interesting stuff. I'm going to introduce my guest in a couple of minutes. Before that, just some housekeeping. If I can see my window, let us see. No, it's not letting me show. Anyways, if you are watching this, make sure you turn on your audio, right? Because that's the best way to experience this video, is to hear me and my guest. And if you have any questions at any point during this video, type them in the comments and I will respond to them towards the end of the video. Or if you're watching the recording, type your comments as well, because I always go back to look at the questions to make sure that I respond. So let's see what else. If you are new here, I'm Lexi Rodrigo. I'm a content marketing consultant and a writer and a lifelong learner, which is really why I'm doing this. I love to learn new things and to share what I learn with everyone. So if you're watching, say hi in the comments, because that's the only way that I can see you're here. Otherwise, I'm not going to know who's here. So say hello, let us know where you're watching from, and again, ask your questions in the comments. So now let me introduce my very special guest. Her name is Megan Doherty, and as I mentioned, she's a business strategist. And I met Megan from working with her in Miracy, where I still work. But Megan has still moved on, and now she's helping business owners to succeed online. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Lexi. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to chat. And it's nice to just chat again, too.
Yeah, for sure. And before I start asking you my questions, just introduce yourself very briefly to our viewers.
Sure. So my name is Megan Doherty, and I am the co-founder of One Stone Creative, and we're a strategic content agency, and we really specialize in podcasts and repurposed media for our clients.
Awesome. So are you ready to answer some of my podcasting questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, first question. When is podcasting a good idea for a business to get into?
That's a great question, and it can be kind of hard to say because a podcast is a lot of work. You should be ready to do a podcast as a business when you're really ready to invest some time in developing the idea, in promoting it. It's going to take a bigger chunk of time than you think it is. So once you've really decided that you want to podcast and you're ready to, you know, give it a try for 6 months, 8 months at least, that's when I would do it. You have to have the time and the resources to invest in that before you're ready.
Well, how much time is required? I think this is probably why a lot of podcasters give up after 12 episodes. They realize, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's a lot of work, and then life happens, and then they just can't continue.
It's a pretty staggering amount of work, especially if you're doing it all by yourself. So, you know, when you hire a firm to, you know, either promote or produce your show, pretty much all you have to do is plan and record. That can be really much easier for a lot of people. But if it is do it yourself, you can plan to spend, you know, 3 to 4 hours editing every episode, and you should spend at least that long promoting it as well. And then guest wrangling is going to take probably 3 or 4 times more time than you expect it will on the outset, because people reschedule, they have issues. You'll just be talking to all sorts of people. It really can eat into your day-to-day.
And the 3 to 4 hours of editing audio by yourself, mm-hmm. I think you're assuming that the person knows how to use all the technology involved in doing that, right?
That I am. It's a pretty steep learning curve. A lot of people can go in. You can learn the very basics pretty quickly, but to get fast and to get really high quality, that's an investment of time up to years.
And not to mention the investment in equipment. Like, what mm-hmm. what pieces of equipment do you need if you're going to start a podcast?
I would definitely get a really good quality mic. you probably don't need one that's like professional at a radio station level, but plan to get a mic that's probably in the $90 to $200 range. So AT2020 is a good one. Blue Yeti is a good one. Snowball is a good one. Those really create a higher quality sound than something just like that is fantastic. They'll create a higher quality sound than a headset like the one I'm wearing right now for a conversation. And you'll also really want, this is something not too many people think about, some audio treatments for the room you're recording in. When you talk in an empty room that, say, has a lot of like white walls and open space, that causes echo and reverb that can be really hard to pull out of audio. So putting sound dampers on the walls or even curtains. I know people who record in blanket forts or their closets to get a really good sound. That's something you want to do as well.
Yeah, okay. Now, you reminded me, I read somewhere where he recorded under a blanket. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, you know, it's for that reason.
I have absolutely done that.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. So in terms of podcasting for business, what are some of the goals that you can achieve through podcasting? Like, in what ways can a podcast help a business?
There's a couple of them, and it's really important to think about that before you start podcasting, because if you don't know why you're running your show, you're not going to achieve whatever it is you set out to. So some of the fantastic goals for a podcast can be to teach your audience. If this is a new way to connect with an audience that you already have, a podcast can be a great way to teach people who are maybe too busy to take a course or watch a video or read a book. Podcasts are where they are, so that's fantastic. Another one might be networking. Having a great podcast with a strong, engaged listenership is a great way to open the door to other influencers, to other experts, and other people in your space. So the networking and meeting people through podcasting, fantastic. And finally, if you have really interesting ideas or concepts that you want to get out into the world and kind of develop a thought leadership position, podcasting can be a really good way to build that credibility and change the conversation in your industry.
Now, some people think that they can use podcasting as a way to make money directly. And by that, I mean that they will attract advertisers, will pay them tons of money to produce their podcast. What do you think about this?
If you're already really, really famous, sure. Yeah. and I mean, like, we're talking Hollywood famous. We're talking big, big, big. The money from podcasting is not great. You're going to spend a lot more money than you make, especially in the beginning. Podcast advertising rates don't tend to be very high. They go on a cost per mil basis. So for every 1,000 downloads, you might earn from a sponsor something in the area of $18 to $30 or $40. There are other ways to monetize a podcast, but as a business owner, it's probably wise to make sure that you're trying to pull in income or monetize the podcast in different ways, by talking about your products, perhaps, by networking and sharing with other podcasters. Relying on your podcast for a source of income, not always a great idea. It can be, but it really, you have to plan for it, and you have to be willing to offer more than most podcasters will to attract a sponsor who's going to pay more than market rates.
Well, how do you measure the audience reach of a podcast?
Most of the stats on that regard come from the podcast host. So a lot of our clients use Libsyn, and that will tell us how many downloads each episode has had. Another way that we kind of, it's less firm, but just looking at engagement. A lot of people will write in, they'll email a podcaster, they'll connect with them on Twitter, they'll connect with them on social, and talk about how the podcast affected them, and it's really amazing to see. So the quantitative way to measure is to get it from your podcast host, and that'll tell you who's downloading, where they're from, how long, sometimes how long they're listening, not usually. And then the qualitative is the just engagement that you get with people.
Well, I guess I'm not a good podcast listener because I have never connected with any of the people that I listen to, and I do listen to a few of them. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so going back to how much work a podcast is, how long should a podcast episode be? Is there any, like, best practices?
That totally depends on your audience. I mean, I think a pretty good sweet spot is in the, you know, 25 to 45 minute range. I like half hour shows, but you know, some podcasts run an hour, 20 minutes, and people love them. So it really depends what your audience has time for and is interested in. And it also, how much time you have to invest in the production. The longer your show is, the more editing that's going to be. And the longer the show is, the more of a commitment you're asking from a guest. So there's a lot of different things to consider when you're figuring out how long your show should be.
And how frequently should you publish a podcast?
That depends, again, how much time you have. Weekly is good, because you mentioned at the beginning, podcasters are loyal. They are. I've got shows I wait for every week. I know what day they come out. I wait for them to come out. And if they don't for a couple of weeks, I'm sad. So pick your schedule and stick to it. It's always easier to add shows than to take them away. But I think weekly is a really good way to start, and a really good tip for that if you want to do one. Have a couple of backup episodes just in the can that you could release any time that aren't time dependent, and just pop them in if you ever need something wild and ridiculous like a vacation.
Yeah, ridiculous, right? But I know what you mean. As I've said, I'm subscribed to like maybe 4 or 5 podcasts, and I think most of them are weekly. One is daily, which is crazy, right? But when the weekly ones don't have a new episode, I am kind of upset about that and disappointed.
Yeah, and what is my new lore? Where is my new note to self?
Or,
what's going on?
Are they okay? Has something happened to them? So yeah, that's really interesting. I mentioned earlier that podcasting is fairly new, but have you seen any ways that it has changed since the early 2000s? What are the trends that you're seeing with podcasting?
Definitely. The biggest one is the audience expectation of quality is increasing, and it's increasing by the year. So it used to be like when podcasting was new, you could get together with a couple of your friends around one microphone and just chat and throw it up on Libsyn or on YouTube, and it would be, you know, you could build an audience that way. Sometimes you still can, and if you're podcasting for passion rather than for business, no problem with that whatsoever. But people don't share poor quality audio. They don't. Someone might listen to a podcaster if they really like their brand, they really like them personally. If the audio is not good, they might listen. They're probably not going to tell people about it, and that doesn't help your show grow. So the biggest change has been the expectation of how well produced and how polished an episode sounds.
Interesting. One of the podcasts that I listen to is, I can't even remember the title, but it's by Mark Schaefer. Mm-hmm. And every episode, they have a unique, like a song that's created especially for that episode, which really blows my mind. And it's well made. Like it's like a commercial quality. Like it's a completely original song, or it might be a parody of some famous movie or TV show. And it's hilarious too, and it always grabs my attention and just makes me smile and laugh sometimes. So you're right, like that level of production quality is just, it's so hard to achieve just by yourself, right?
It really can be. And I mean, it's what you're saying, like with the custom music, I think that's a really cool opportunity as well. Because if you are in a position where you can kind of devote the time and the resources to making a really good show, people remember it and talk about it. And it's also a great opportunity to like get new artists and new voices out there, right? If there's custom music for every show, how cool is that? A new career direction is made for a composer. I love that aspect of podcasting and how it's changing media and what goes into media.
Yeah. Now, with over 500,000 active podcasts right now and so many new ones are coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think podcasting has become too crowded? Is it still possible to get a piece of the pie and get attention and actually build an audience?
It definitely is, but I would not use your podcast as the only way to build your audience. You should definitely be doing other audience building tactics as well and kind of creating on your entire platform. Have your podcast be one element of how you're growing your business and building, you know, your community. Podcasting by itself isn't a business. And podcasting by itself won't grow your business. You really have to take a holistic view at everything you're doing in your business and make sure that your podcast is a sensible part of that.
So you mentioned earlier that part of the work of podcasting is promoting it. What are the best ways to promote your podcast?
Sending the link directly to people. Far and away, that is still going to be one of the best ways to get new listeners. So something that I like to tell my clients when they're recording an episode is before they sit down to record, whether it's a solo episode or with a guest, think about who they're going to be recording that for. Three specific individuals, like real humans that they could later talk to. And then once the episode is live, I recommend that they send the URL directly to that person with a little note. Says, hey, I thought of you when I was recording this. Here's the show. And no request, no nothing other than, hey, I was thinking of you when I recorded this, but just get it out there. Often people will share it. Sometimes they won't, but often they will. Another way to do it, I mean, you can buy traffic. Facebook ads, Google ads to a particularly interesting episode. That can be a strategy. And, if you do have the time, promote on social media. Send it to your guests. Encourage, help, make it easy for your guests to share if you have them. Tell them when it's live. Give them some links. Give them some swipe. Take away the excuses because it's easy not to share. So make it very, very easy to share.
Good suggestions. Hey, guys who are listening, I hope you caught that, and I hope you're taking notes. So that was one thing I forgot to say earlier was get a pen and paper because you're going to want to take notes. So lots of good ideas there, Megan. Now, I know that you help clients to set up and produce their podcasts. Mm-hmm. What is at least one thing that you wish every client knew before hiring you?
Other than good mic technique, I would say having a really clear goal for the podcast. A lot of people start podcasting because they think they should or because they know it's something they want to do. They want to have that kind of intimate communication with their audience. But I do wish more people had clear goals for the podcast. In a year, I want to be reaching this many people, or I want this to support my business in this way. And it's kind of hard to say that because very, very often that changes and you can decide it over time. It's sometimes after a couple of months of podcasting that you realize, oh, I thought I wanted this, but actually this is going to be much better and much smarter and a better choice for me and my audience. So, I'm pretty happy to work with people who don't yet know exactly what they're doing, but I love starting with a clear goal and then because that gives you something to start measuring.
So what are the common mistakes that you see new podcasters making, or maybe even not so new podcasters making?
Lack of promotion. The biggest mistake I see is not promoting their shows, not pitching it to people, not sharing the episodes once they're live. It really, build it and they will come, not a thing. Has not been a thing for many, many, many years. And so really not investing that time in and not scheduling or not planning for that time in advance to promote and share your show.
And this one we actually started talking about a little bit mm-hmm. before we even went live. I noticed that some podcasters do their podcasts in video because I catch them on YouTube. So they're recording their podcast as a video and then publishing it on iTunes. What do you think about this approach? Do you recommend it? Is it effective?
I would not recommend it for someone just starting out. And I don't love it as a strategy. Some people do it really well. It really works well for some businesses, so I'm not going to say don't do it. But I think it is a wasted opportunity to use the best features of video and the best features of podcasting by trying to do them both at the same time. So a podcast, the real beauty of podcasting is that it is such an intimate way. You feel like you know a podcaster when you listen to them. You feel a personal connection to them. And it because it's such a part of your life, you know, when you're jogging, when you're cleaning, it works itself into your life. That's different than video, where you're kind of you're more one-to-one engaged with, you're watching someone, you can see their faces, and you can immediately take a next step in a video, which you usually don't in a podcast. So on a video, you can say, hey, click the link below, write the comment below. There's a lot less friction for a call to action in video than there is in audio. So I think it makes the most sense. If you're going to do video and audio content for your business, use video for what video is best at, and use podcasting and audio for what audio is best at.
Interesting. So my final question for you, Megan, is if you could work with anybody at all on their podcast, who would you work with and why?
Ooh, current podcast or someone who doesn't yet have a podcast?
Either way.
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. You know, it's not like a specific person. I would absolutely love to do a history podcast. I think that would be so much fun and so interesting. So I don't have a particular name for that, but I just think that would be great. Maybe like a feminist history podcast, I think would be a lot of fun to produce.
Now, do you mean reenacting some historical events or talking about them or both?
I think talking about like hidden stories from history or stuff that you wouldn't expect. I think that would be kind of, you know, you want to work on the stuff that you want to listen to. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Oh, and I am going to say one more thing. Steve Kam of Nerd Fitness. I want to do a podcast for Steve Kam of Nerd Fitness. There's an individual for you.
Because?
Because his content is great, and I follow his advice when I work out, and I would like to be listening to his podcast while I'm following his workout. I think that would tie in very beautifully.
Does he not have a podcast yet?
Not yet.
Oh.
If you're listening, Steve.
I know. I think we need to email him with a link.
Maybe.
So before we move on to the questions, any other tips that you want to mention?
Absolutely. If you think long-term podcasting is something that you really want to do, but you're not ready to make a big investment of time and money into anything yet, you know what? Just start. Just start anyway. You can add editing later. You can add a production company later. But practice. It takes a long time sometimes to get really comfortable you know, talking to a whole bunch of people, but only looking at a weird little microphone on your desk. So get out there and get the worst parts, which is listening to yourself on audio when you're editing and, you know, seeing yourself on video, learning how to ask good questions. Just start. You can record 24 episodes. It doesn't mean you have to air every single one, but not a minute of that time is going to be wasted if it makes you more confident and better at presenting through audio.
Awesome advice. So just get started if you are interested. Okay, guys, do you have any questions for Megan? Type them in the comments. In the meantime, let me go over some of our comments. So, hi, Christine. Oh, my goodness. Hang on. I messed up my thing. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that, guys. I just want you to be able to read the comments. Okay, so Christine is saying, how do you know your idea is big enough to support a podcast?
Oh, that is a fantastic question. I think, I'm so sorry, so many of my answers are going to be, it depends. Because you get to figure out what success means for your own podcast. So you can decide that means whether it is monetizing itself, it's getting you the relationships in the rooms that you want, or it can be that it is impacting people personally. You don't need to, you can run a podcast and only have, say, 100 downloads per episode, but if those people really care about what you're saying, and if that idea really resonates with them, that very well could be its own, you know, like its own metric of success. So I think that's a really good thing to consider before you start out is, what does success look like for this? What do I personally want to achieve out of doing a podcast?
Would you recommend that somebody like make a list of the topics that they would talk about and see if there's enough breadth or depth in it?
You should be able to sit down and, without pause, write down 15 potential show ideas. You should not have to hesitate and come up with, like, if you can't do that, you probably will run out of steam.
Yeah, and remember, the average podcast becomes inactive after 12 episodes. So, yeah, it's a good idea to have an idea, you know, more than a dozen show ideas, right?
Definitely.
Okay. This is, hi to Tina. Hi, Tina Gentile. She says, genius. I can't remember what she said, but something you said, Megan.
Thanks, Tina.
Okay, and she also said, hire one stone. Check that mic technique. So I'm guessing she's referring to you and Audra.
That may have been someone who
followed
one of the links I sent.
Explain to us one stone, because I think I forgot to mention that in the beginning. One Stone Creative is your company.
Definitely, and I'll tell you a little bit about how we work with our clients on their podcasts. So we do a full service production, which, you know, there are a number of companies who do it. Most editors or producers just do your audio and send it back to you, which is great. We will launch your podcast. We'll build the technology infrastructure around it. We'll plan how it fits into your business. My business partner, Audra, is a 20-year veteran of radio, makes beautiful audio. And so we try to make sure that your podcast not only makes you and your guests sound good, but it will grow your business because it's part of your overall business strategy. And that's where our real focus is for our clients.
So I'm glad that Tina brought up the mic technique, because I wanted to ask that earlier, but I forgot. What is good mic technique?
Okay, I will demonstrate a little bit here. I don't have my big mic out. I lent it to my dad, who is learning voiceovers, which is the coolest thing ever.
That is so cool.
Isn't that great? I love it. But here, we'll use this little lipstick that I've got in my desk, and we'll say, this is my mic, and I've got it here, and I'm going to be about 2 to 3 inches away from the mic. And if I have a pop filter, it's going to be in between me and the mic, and I'm going to try to talk right past it. Not directly into it, but just to the side. And so if you can do that, if you can practice kind of keeping in that position and doing that naturally, you'll still have to practice a lot, but that's kind of the foundation of good mic technique.
Oh, thank you, Megan. Okay. I want to say hello also to Mare. I don't know if I'm saying your name correctly. History stories are always so interesting, aren't they? Actually, Megan, I love historical fiction. So when you mentioned that, yeah. I want to say go for it.
If anyone out there wants to hire a company to produce a history podcast, hit me up.
Absolutely. That is such a great idea. And we also have somebody special watching us right now, our very own dear Audra. Hi, Audra. Oh, my gosh, Audra.
Is my business partner at One Stone Creative.
Audra, I miss you so much. And the other day I was going through your website and I watched your videos, and it was so great to hear Audra's voice again and to see you two on video. So, any other questions, guys? Great to see you. Great to see you too, Audra. So when I was getting started with Facebook Live, I saw, like, a lot of people said, your first 100 live videos are going to be terrible. So just get through them as quickly as you can. And that's what I'm trying to do. I haven't had 100 yet, so these are still probably terrible. But definitely much better than my first, like, 5 or 10. So, yeah, if anyone is thinking of podcasting, go for it. Just get started. Get your practice in. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you mentioned, Megan, you know, just directly reaching out to specific people who might be interested in your topic. And I think I'm going to do that, like, after this interview. And because I connected with a few people a couple of weeks ago who are thinking of podcasting. So I'm going to send them the link to this video.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, guys, if you want to learn more about Megan, remember to go to onestonecreative.com, correct?
.net. Oh. Onestonecreative.net.
Sorry about that. Okay.
No problem.
Let me type that because I might just have confused people. I was on your website and I didn't notice. So, one.
It's okay. I have typoed my own email address. It happens.
Okay. Glad I'm not the only one. Did I get that? I did. It's just really tiny. So, guys, find out more about Megan and Audra at onestonecreative.net. So, again, Megan, really quickly, what do you do? What kind of services do you provide mm-hmm. for business owners?
Yep. We do predominantly podcasts, but we also can go into your content and repurpose it into new audio video materials. We make great animated videos, so if you need a book trailer or a sales video, talking head, digital course videos, we can help you out. And pretty much if you need a little consultation help with your digital launch, whether it's for a podcast, for a course, you can send us a note and we will do our best to help you out.
Awesome. So, guys, remember, check out onestonecreative.net. And if you want to get more ideas about how you can create other types of content, get my free PDF at alexisrodrigo.com/content. So one of the things that I talk about there is podcasting, but being a podcast guest and not being on your own not producing your own podcast, because I'm talking here about the easiest ways to get new content. But I think being a guest is a good way to get, you know, your feet wet, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, just get used to speaking in front of a microphone and hearing your own voice, which is a big hurdle for a lot of people.
It sucks. Just embrace the suck.
And another tip that I heard, which is actually based on psychology, is just to keep on listening to yourself or keep watching yourself, because familiarity breeds contentment.
And I'll just add to that a little bit, if you don't mind. Audra
sure.
made a really great comment just yesterday when we were chatting. When you're going to be a guest, you should be researching the host's audience as well and really make sure that what you're talking about is what they're going to talk about, because the host's audience is their most precious resource. And you're a guest in their space. Make sure that you're not in it only for yourself. You're there to provide value for them.
Excellent advice. Absolutely. So, guys, thanks very much for joining me and Megan today. Remember, if you have any questions, type them in the comments because I will go back and respond. And again, check out onestonecreative.net and alexisrodrigo.com/content. Thank you so much, Megan, for spending the last half hour with me. It's been great catching up with you. Any parting words?
I think that's we covered a lot of it. Get out there and try it. Remember that really good audio is table stakes now, and be willing not to run a bad show. It's not worth it.
Absolutely. So, bye everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you again on Wednesday, 11 a.m.